This time. If the children will come forward for children's service, children's moment. Our scripture lesson today is Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. And if you want to grab a red Bible and read along, it's on page 34, at the top of page 34. But this is kind of tricky. The numbers start over at the New Testament. So page 34 is in the back. So page 34 on the red Bible. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. Let us not take for granted this opportunity to worship you. Please focus our hearts and minds. May our efforts please you, and may these words that I'm about to speak be yours, not mine. Let us feel your presence as we humbly praise your holy, holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Matthew 28, 16 through 20 is known as the Great Commission. And as Pastor Rick Warren, the author of A Purpose-Driven Life, has been quoted saying, this is the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. So the mission of the United Methodist Church is making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We keep hearing that word disciple. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a disciple. And this is a call to action. There's a big difference between a believer and a follower. A believer can be on a scale, believing parts of the story, believing some of the history. Plenty of scientists have proven plenty of things. So plenty of people can be believers. There's a big difference to be a follower. A follower follows and allows God to lead, depends on the Holy Spirit for guidance, walks by faith and not by sight, which, by the way, can be terrifying. A follower tells God, I know you know better than I know you see more than I see. I know you have the whole picture and I don't. So I'm going to follow. I'm going to surrender my will to yours. I'm going to surrender my agenda to your agenda. I'm going to wake up every day and thank you for this day and hand it right back over. We're living in a generation right now where we're constantly inundated and being told to follow. Follow me on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, follow me on Facebook. And all that's well and good, and it's amazing the way we can connect. Technology is amazing. But notice that word, we hear it all the time. Notice the terminology, we're not being told, catch me on Facebook, stalk me on Instagram. We're being told to follow, so let's don't be desensitized by that word follow. Jesus has been telling us to follow him for 2,000 years. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. I call it fight the flesh. You gotta fight the flesh. Paul says, I do what I don't wanna do and I don't do what I do wanna do. We gotta deny ourselves. Take up their cross and follow me. So if we are followers and we are to make disciples. That's what I want to talk about today. But I don't want to talk about what that would look like because that's going to be personal. God's going to ask each one of us to do something different. Certainly to make disciples, but that's very personal. I just want to talk today a little bit about what it takes to do that. And it takes confidence, but not in ourselves. It takes confidence in God. Not in our ability to persuade or convince, but in him, trusting that he is who he says he is, and he's done what he says he's done. Some say that this confidence comes down to faith, and it does in the beginning. In the beginning, it takes faith, it takes a leap of faith. I heard years ago, normally you've got to see it to believe it, but with God, you absolutely have to believe, and then you'll see. Takes a blind faith. Maybe you've witnessed a transformation or experienced an answered prayer. But in the beginning, it does take that leap of faith. I'm taking a leap of faith stepping away from that, let me tell you. This terrifies me to be over here with that paper over there. But after a while, as you start to trust him with the little things and then the bigger things, you start to see that God's really good. He's really faithful. And as you start to trust him more and more, you start to obey him. His commandments, and even that little nudge of the Holy Spirit more and more. And then what started out as blind faith, when do you realize has developed into a relationship? And that's where I'm going with this, that when you realize you can obey his commandments and the Holy Spirit, and you trust him and obey him, and you obey him and trust him, and you realize you're in a relationship with him, I want you to understand that's a very, very real relationship. Hence my little pun here, real relationship. Imagine someone you're in a relationship with. Anybody. A brother, a sister, a coworker, literally anyone that you're in a relationship with. And then imagine someone trying to convince you that that person is not real. They could not do it. You would never start to doubt or question. You wouldn't lose any sleep. There'd be no anxiety. You know that that person's real because you're in a relationship with them. And what is one of the most important elements of any relationship? Communication. So when we understand that our relationship with God is that real. And we can consider this little analogy. Maybe you've noticed a ski boat sitting up here. So I bought this off eBay. And in case you're wondering, this is like the only ski boat toy out there. It's very hard to find. Consider this just one analogy, one illustration of what our relationship with God might look like. So in this analogy, God is the boat. We're the skier. And has anybody ever skied? I've tried. It's hard, right? Looks hard. So we're the skier, and when we are fulfilling our purpose in life and we're doing His will, and only by the power of the Holy Spirit are we living out the Great Commission, we're skiing. This right here is the line of communication between us and God. So if you will, just for a moment, let's look at this. Let's notice a couple things. God, the boat, is in complete control. The skier is completely dependent on the boat. The line of communication is very, very important, and it has to be just the right length. If we start to come up with excuses like, I'll read my Bible next week, I'll go to church, I'll start going to church, you know, as soon as school starts, I'll go next week, I'll join a Bible study in a month when I get this other stuff together. That rope gets a little bit longer and a little bit longer, and from what little I know about skiing, you cannot ski with a rope a mile long. It'd be very difficult. So it's vital to our relationship that we have a strong line of communication with Him, and what a blessing it is that He's given us that. He has made a way. The Creator of the universe has made a way for us to communicate with Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. This means to be in constant communication. I used to think this meant praying and praying and praying for people, but I heard someone in high school say, wake up and thank Him for the hot water you have in the shower. Get that conversation going. I think everyone in this room would probably agree that God is with us always. Imagine a friend coming in from out of town that's going to be with you always, but you didn't speak to them until late that night. And you turned to them and said, hey, will you keep my kids safe? We want to be in constant communication. God is our friend. He's our Father. We're in a relationship with Him. Jeremiah 29:11. This is one of the most probably quoted verses of the Bible. This along with Philippians 3:14. Am I getting that right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. But notice this verse says plans. God's telling us here He has plans for us, like an architect has a blueprint. He is not telling us you are going to have an awesome future. He's telling us He has plans. Imagine getting to the end of your life and saying, God, what's up? I thought you said you had awesome plans for me. And He said, I did. You never asked me about them. So we want to be in communication with God. Last look at the line of communication. If this rope gets dropped, it's always from our end. God will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will not drop His end of the rope. So finally, the skier. The skier is engaged. He's not being dragged behind that boat. We have to take an active role. Jeremiah 29:11 talks about God's plans for us, but if you go a little bit further, verses 12 and 13 say, then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me, you will seek me with all of your heart. So that's verb after verb after verb. God is telling us, call, come, pray, seek, find. The skier is participating. God will pursue us, but we have to pursue Him. I researched skiing just a little tiny bit for this, and the one thing I did notice, the skier wants to always be looking forward. Good rule of thumb, right? So the skier's got to be focused. Hebrews 12:1-2, let us run with endurance with our eyes fixed on Jesus. What is distracting you? What is causing you to take your eyes off of Jesus? Who are you not forgiving? What are you worrying about? This is a good one for me. I notice I tend to worry about the future. but not the distant future, not 3 years from now, not 30 years from now. I tend to worry about 3 days from now or 3 hours from now. Worrying about the future is like telling God, I know you're with me now. I'm just not sure you'll be with me then. He is with us now. He's always with us now. We must be present to feel his presence. His ears are focused. They stay in the moment. And finally, this might be the hardest part about skiing. Skiers are out there skiing with a good attitude. Don't be a grumpy skier. James tells us in James 1:3, consider it all joy, all the trials. They lead to perseverance. They lead to endurance. Paul tells us in Philippians 2:14, do all of it without complaining or arguing. So if you're out there doing God's will and you're holding on to that rope, but you're rolling your eyes and whining about it, really, really loses something. Really affects your witness. I asked one of my kids, if I had their permission to say this. I told one of my kids one time, and I don't want to name names, but it's my second kid with the red hair. The one sitting by Thomas. I told him once, child, I'm going to have you do that over and over and over and over again until you can do it with a good attitude. And as soon as that came out of my mouth, I thought, oh my goodness, if God said that to me, what all would I be redoing? Be like Groundhog Day. Oh. In order to do what Christ is calling us to do, we must be in a relationship with him. We've got to trust him and obey him. We've got to stay focused and disciplined. And before we could even attempt to live out the Great Commission, before we could even attempt to convince other people that God is real, we have to make sure that no one could convince us that he's not. My previous pastor, Miss Gayla Webb, many of you know her. Love her. Oh, Gayla, love you. I asked her one day, I said, how would you explain that when there's so many other religions and so many other gods that people are worshiping? How would you explain that to someone, that God the Father, his Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is the one true God? And she said, let me put it like this, and this has always stuck with me. When banks hire new tellers and they want to teach them and train them to find the counterfeit money, they do not have them touch and feel counterfeit money. They have them count real money over and over and over again. When you have heard the truth and you know the truth, you can distinguish it and discern it from everything else. Jesus told us that he's the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What does it take to live out the Great Commission? Confidence in God. What is one of the most important elements of any relationship? Communication. And how can we have that confidence? We've got to be in a relationship with him. So strengthen that line of communication with God. He wants to be in a relationship with you. Stay close to him. As we leave today, the youth, we're going to have two youth by each door handing out these little pieces of rope. This is actually paracord that I bought from Thomas. $20, Thomas. Kind of high, I thought. Let this be a reminder. Take it with you, toss it in your pocket, maybe your purse. But let this be a reminder of that rope right there, that line of communication. Talk to God about the little things, the big things, and every single thing in between. He wants to take care of us. He wants to lead us. What an honor to follow him. Grab a hold of that rope. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for being just that, our Father. Thank you for desiring a relationship with us. Let us draw near to you. Open our eyes to how good you are, how just you are, how faithful you are. Help us let go of all that distracts us and turn to you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.